Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Fairbanks police are seeking the public's help locating a vehicle and driver involved in a hit-and-run accident that severely injured a pedestrian over the weekend. Police report that on Saturday at about 12:40 in the afternoon, a woman walking toward College Road near Catherine Avenue and Bunnell Street was struck by what's described as a dark-colored SUV or pickup with large tires. They say the victim received life-threatening injuries in the crash and ask anyone who witnessed or has information about the incident to contact them. North Pole police have concluded there was nothing to a report of a gunman on North Pole High School grounds last week. A press release says investigation of the April 6th report, which resulted in school lockdowns, led police to believe the called-in report of a man with a rifle near the high school football field was not accurate. The caller further stated that the man got into a vehicle with another man and drove away. Police stopped the vehicle, but say they found no gun and nothing to substantiate the report. Police encourage anyone with additional information to contact them. The University of Alaska Board of Regents is holding a special meeting Thursday in Fairbanks to discuss contingency plans in light of state Senate-approved budget cuts. Last week, the Senate passed a budget that cuts $22 million from the $325 million in UA funding supported by the House and Governor Bill Walker.
In the event that a number comes from the legislature that is less than that, the university needs to be prepared for those cuts.
UA spokeswoman Roberta Graham says Regents anticipated the Senate reducing the level of funding, but not by $22 million. She says UA President Jim Johnson is talking about additional budget options with campus chancellors.
What they think would be likely cuts on those campuses, and those will be the options that come forward to the Regents.
President Johnson last week called the Senate cut devastating while noting that the UA budget has already been reduced by $53 million over the past 3 years and that UA is in the process of downsizing but needs time to carry out a plan to reduce reliance on state funds by 2025. Graham says there's also concern about a lack of capital funding for UA, noting a $1 billion backlog in deferred maintenance. The UA Regents meeting is scheduled for Thursday afternoon from 1 to 3 at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Butcherovich Building and will be live streamed. Governor Bill Walker is calling his Friday meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping an unprecedented opportunity to step up Alaska's relationship with China, a country that he pointed out is already one of the state's biggest trading partners. Alaska Energy Desk reports that the Chinese president made a surprise stop in Anchorage Friday evening on his way home from a two-day summit with President Donald Trump in Florida. During a Saturday morning press conference, Walker said meeting with Xi was a special moment for him.
If we had traveled to China, we could not have had a meeting like this. Not would be surrounded with this level of high-level ministers at that meeting. So it was really I have to say it was a little unprecedented.
Anchorage is a frequent stop for flights headed to Asia, but in an unusual move, the Chinese government specifically requested a meeting with Walker during the layover. Xi and his entourage landed at Ted Stevens International Airport just before 7 p.m. Friday, then took a scenic drive to Beluga Point on Turnagain Arm. Xi and his delegation then met with Walker at the Hotel Captain Cook. Speaking through an interpreter, Xi heaped praise on Alaska's natural beauty, comparing it to Shangri-La. The Chinese leader then made a prediction.
The very fact that we have now been here, I believe, will serve as a good advertisement for your state. I believe there might be a boom of Chinese visitors traveling to your states as tourists.
During his public remarks, Walker focused on trade and Alaska's natural resource opportunities, especially the state's longtime effort to build a major natural gas pipeline from the North Slope.
Through the development of an 800-mile pipeline and liquefied natural gas facility, Alaska can provide a stable source of gas supply to the Asia-Pacific region for more than a century.
The two leaders did not announce any new initiatives, but Walker said the conversation was wide-ranging, covering topics like climate change, Alaska's fisheries, and even the potential for Chinese athletes to come to Alaska to train for the 2022 Olympics in Beijing. Alaska's Division of Forestry personnel will burn off dry vegetation in two areas around the Delta Junction State Bison Range over the next few weeks. The prescribed burns are intended to improve habitat for bison and other species, KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
State Fish and Game Program Coordinator Sue Rodman says the department wants to conduct the prescribed burns early in the season, after the snow melts off and before green-up, so the fires would burn hot enough to thin out dried vegetation and promote growth of grasses for bison to forage.
We're looking at a pretty narrow window to support a hot fire that will kill off the grass and the shrubs so that we can have fresh grass come back in.
Rodman says about 3,600 acres will be burned in two large fields on the range from April 17th through early May. She says it's the first of what Fish and Game officials hope will be regularly recurring burns around the 90,000-acre range that are intended to improve conditions for bison and other animals that live there, including two species of grouse and snowshoe hare.
We haven't burned for a few years, but we're trying to renew this pattern of prescribed fires in the bison range.
Rodman says Fish and Game and forestry officials don't expect the fires to generate enough smoke to create a nuisance for Delta Junction, located about 14 miles northwest of the range. Forestry spokesman Tim Mowry says firefighters also will try to keep smoke from drifting to the handful of homes scattered outside the range, the closest of which is about a half mile from the burn area.
With these prescribed burns, you know, smoke is always a big concern, so we're doing our best to mitigate that.
Mowry says forestry will have up to 14 firefighters on site to manage the burns, along with smaller fire engines and other equipment as needed. He says they'll be careful to only burn when conditions are right.
Wind and relative humidities are the two big factors. You know, if it's too windy, we can't burn. If it's too wet, we can't burn.
The state created the Bison Range in 1979 to give the herd of about 400 head an alternative to barging into the cultivated fields of the agricultural area south of Delta Junction. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Jesse Holmes won the Kobuk 440 sled dog race yesterday. The Nenana-based musher, featured on National Geographic's Life Below Zero, arrived at the Kotzebue finish Sunday ahead of 2016 Kobuk 440 champion Nicholas Petit. Wade Mars was third. 12 other mushers completed the race from Kotzebue to Kobuk and back, including Jeff King and his daughter Ellen King. I'm Dan Bross.